إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، I welcome all of you and we continue إن شاء الله تعالى tonight. Continue reading from the book that we have started yesterday, مكارم الأخلاق لفضيلة الشيخ الوالد محمد بن صالح العثيمين رحمه الله تعالى. Upright moral character. This is part two, the second class. Briefly, we just mentioned what point we start. We stopped yesterday at page 17, when the Shaykh was making a point that when he said there is an issue worthy of discussion here, who is more virtuous, someone who has commendable character naturally, innate, naturally, a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or someone who worked to attain it, someone who worked hard to have those good manners. Which of them has a higher status and more reward than the other? The answer was given by the Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah. He says, there is tafsir, there is detail in this one. He says, the one who is nice and has good character naturally from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says he is better and higher. Why? Because this person, he is nice. He has good manners. That's who he is. He's gentle, nice, easy, kind, patient, forbearing. So whenever he goes, he is the same person. Regardless what place he may be, regardless the circumstances, many people are angry around him, but he's not. He's patient. Because that's in him, that's who he is. But the other person, he has to work hard. Sometimes he may forget, yes, he wants to be patient, but because patience is not naturally in him, is not a natural character in that person, he or she, he may forget and get very mad. Start saying things that are not pleasing to Allah, doing things that are not pleasing to Allah. But however, the Shaykh says, but a person who's struggling hard and striving and working hard to learn good manners and to apply good manners, yes, that person, he will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will get a great reward for striving, for working hard. Okay, he will get a great reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because that person, he's working hard. It's not like someone who don't care. Now, this person wants to change himself. He has some ill manners and he is working hard to get rid of them. He don't have other good manners that he see other people have. And he say to himself, subhanallah, they human beings just like me. Alhamdulillah, Allah putting that on them. But listen, I'm going to try my best to be like them, inshaAllah ta'ala. And he will be rewarded. He will be rewarded for striving hard. ثم قال الشيخ رحمه الله وإذا رزق الإنسان الخلقين جميعا طبعا وتطبعا كان ذلك أكمل. He says, furthermore, if a man is granted both types, some good character naturally and some attained, then this is the most complete case. A person may have some good manners and character naturally from Allah, but then he's missing others. So he thank Allah and praise Him for what Allah given him and bestowed upon him or her, And then he's like, listen, I'm going to work on the other ones that I don't have. This one is better, no doubt, the Shaykh says. ثم قال الشيخ والأقسام أربع يعني الناس في الأخلاق أربعة أقسام. القسم الأول من حرم حسن الخلق، والثاني من جبل عليه ولكنه اقتصر على الجبلة، والثالث من جبل عليه وزاد ذلك بالتكسب، والرابع من لم يجبل لكنه أخذه بالتكسب. للشيخ ابن عثيمين رحمه الله تعالى says when it comes to character, people are on four categories. You can classify the people on four categories. The first category, it is the person who has been deprived of innate good manners and he has not attained them. Make no efforts to attain those good manners. This is a person, he is not kind person, has good manners naturally, and not making any effort to change that. Number two, a person who has some innate good manners. MashaAllah, it's in him. Allah put that in that person. He has some good manners, but he has not worked to attain any more. Whatever Allah has put in that person, that's all that person has. In this category, this person not trying to gain, to learn, to attain more good manners, more good character. Even though he has some good character from Allah, naturally bestowed upon him or her from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third category of people when it comes to manners, one who has good manners naturally, and has worked to improve them. And this is the best, no doubt. Person Allah has given them good character, but then that person still working, making studies, learning more to improve his or her character, to improve their good manners. And number four, one who has been deprived of innate good manners, but has worked to attain them. In the fourth category, somebody didn't have these good manners. Person has attitude, short temper, didn't have these good manners. But now this person, he's working hard to attain them. He's working or she's working hard to attain these good manners. قال الشيخ العثيمين رحمه الله تعالى فالحاصل بالنسبة لحسن الخلق أن من جبل عليه فهو أكمل، وأما من حيث المعاناة والمشقة في تحصيل حسن الخلق فإن من أخذه عن طريق التكسب فله أجر المجاهدة. In conclusion, and I am reading from the translation that was by our brother Musa Richardson حفظه الله تعالى. By the way, Musa Richardson Jazahullah khairan, if one of our brothers from America, is originally from Pittsburgh, if I'm not mistaken, he's a Caucasian brother, who has accepted Islam, alhamdulillah, and he went to study in Jami'at Umm al-Qura, in Mecca. This is a Jami'a university that they teach Islam as well. In Umm al-Qura they have other things that you can study. But they teach Sharia as well and the like. So he studied over there, and if I'm not mistaken again, he already finished his master's and he's about to present his doctorate. May Allah grant him tawfiq, ameen. He's a good brother, alhamdulillah. He's known to the ulama. They know him as Musa Tawil, an Amriki, because brother is, mashallah, Allahu Akbar. Maybe he's 7 feet. Or 7'2", easily. May Allah preserve him and protect him and his family. Ameen. And he's been in Saudi Arabia for easy 12 years, man. Now 10, 12. Maybe more than that. And he has a lot of work, alhamdulillah. He translates books, like this one for Troy in Canada, in Toronto. Troy in Toronto. He's been giving them a class for a couple of years right now on Kitab al-Tawheed. And if you go to Troy.org, you will find it. If you go to Troy.org, you will find the classes. Likewise, other classes, because he used to come in the summer, he used to go to Canada and stay with them for a month, month and a half, spend his vacation, summer vacation in there, and he did some classes with the brothers in there, in Troy, in Toronto. Jazakallah khair, I just want to mention him because I'm reading from his translation. So the Shaykh says, in conclusion, the one who has good manners naturally is more complete in his character. However, when a person struggles and endures hardship to attain good character, he or she will be rewarded for his efforts. See? If somebody has good manners from Allah, that's a beautiful thing. And ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. This is the virtue of Allah, He give it to whom He will. But if someone knows from himself that he doesn't have good manners, then that person should work hard to attain them. And while doing that, a person is rewarded. Is rewarded greatly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثم قال الشيخ وهنا مسألة هل هناك أخلاق ليست في القرآن والسنة وما السبيل إلى معرفتها؟ Then the Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, he says, here is a question. And giving questions is very important, as the ulama they mentioned. This is one of the best way to teach. Why? Because when the Sheikh raises a question, people pay attention. Why? Because they want to know the answer. Now they're paying attention. That's one of the good ways the ulama, they says, to teach. So that's why the mashayikh sometimes, even though they give a talk, a lecture, and they ask questions. Some of them, like Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he used to ask in his classes many times. If you listen to his tapes and CDs of the explanation of the books, many times the Shaykh, he was like, Tayyib, what did I just say? Man, you better say what the Shaykh says, or at least say, sorry Shaykh, you got me Shaykh. Don't try, oh you said. Like sometimes people, they're like, you said this, the Shaykh says, no, that's not what I said. Yeah Shaykh, that's what you said. He says, no, that's not what I said. I'm telling you what I just said now. I ain't asking what I said 10 minutes ago. So 10 minutes you've been away? The Shaykh said, so 10 minutes? We lost your sense 10 minutes ago? That's the last thing you get from me? He says, why are you here then? Why are you sitting here? If you're here, you want to benefit. طيب. So the Shaykh says, here is a question. Are there good manners not mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah? And if so, how can we come to know of them? And if so, how can we know? How can we come to know of those manners? قال الجواب قال عليه الصلاة والسلام إنما بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق الحديث وذلك أن الشرائع السابقة التي شرعها الله للعباد كلها تحث على الأخلاق الفاضلة. The Shaykh says, as response to this and answer to this, he says, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, I have only been sent to complete upright moral character. I have only been sent to complete upright moral character. So he said to complete. He said, the Shaykh says, that is because the previous religions that Allah legislated for His servants had also encouraged their followers to have virtuous manners. Have encouraged the followers to have good manners and upright moral character. قال فلهذا ذكر أهل العلم أن الأخلاق الفاضلة مما أطبقت الشرائع على طلبه، ولكن هذه الشريعة الكاملة جاء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيها بتمام مكارم الأخلاق. He says, the people of knowledge, the scholars, they mentioned that virtuous manners were sought from the followers of all the previous legislations. And it is the perfect legislation that the Prophet ﷺ came with that brings us, or that brings upright moral character to its completion and good manners to perfection. So the Shaykh says, yes, every Prophet and a messenger before the Prophet ﷺ, their message comprises good manners. They call the people to good manners, upright moral character. But that which our beloved Prophet Muhammad ﷺ brought from Allah, which is Islam, the final message to all mankind, have completed and perfected the manners, the good manners. قال الشيخ ولنضرب لذلك مثلا بمسألة مسألة القصاص، أي لو أن أحدا جنى على أحد فهو يقتص منه أم لا. The Shaykh says, let's give an example to make this clear. Let's look up at an example of this, that this religion that the Prophet ﷺ has conveyed to the people is the perfect religion. He says that example is qisas. Qisas is retribution. When somebody does something wrong, what is the ruling, what this person should get according to the legislation, not according to the people's anger. People get angry and beat up somebody who maybe shouldn't be get beat up. Wallahu al-musta'an. People are even killed. They shouldn't even be touched. Now they even killed, walayyadu billah, because of anger. He says the qisas, retribution. He says the people of knowledge have mentioned the issue of qisas, which is when a person commits a crime against another. When a person commits a crime against another person, is a punishment of the same nature of this crime to be applied to him or not, to that person or not? Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen says, ذكروا أن القصاص في شريعة اليهود حتمي ولا بد منه ولا خيار للمجني عليه فيه. Now the Shaykh is going to give us now in this issue, when somebody committed a crime, somebody killed somebody poked somebody in the eye, cut his arm off, crime, okay? Now the Shaykh is going to mention to us what the Jews in their legislation, what they used to, how they deal with a person like that, and how the Christian dealt with a person, and what Islam did, how Islam deal with it. See? He says, as for the Jews, so the ulama, they have mentioned that this was something inflexible in the legislation of the Jews. They had to apply it. And the victims had no say in the matter. Mean they could not excuse the criminal. In the legislation of the Jews, if somebody commit a crime, he has to receive the same thing. Kill somebody, has to be killed. They don't talk to him or try to get him out of it, none of that. So there is no flexibility whatsoever. أما النصارى العكس وهو وجوب العفو. Now, for the Christians, they have the opposite view, the opposite stance. They they excuse all criminals in all cases. They excuse them. Afu Shamil. They excuse them. Lakin Shari'atana, they said they were obliged actually, they were obliged to excuse the criminal in all cases. This is the Christian belief. لكن شريعتنا جاءت كاملة من الوجهين ففيها القصاص وفيها العفو لأن في أخذ الجانب جنايته حزما وكفا للشر وفي العفو عنه إحسانا وجميلا وبدل معروف في من عفوت عنه فجاءت شريعتنا والحمد لله مكملة خيرت من له الحق بين العفو والأخذ لأجل أن يعفو في مقام العفو وأن يأخذ في مقام الأخذ. الشيخ said, however, In our religion of Islam, they look at the masalih, what is good at that moment. They look at the crime, not as the Jews look at it, that's it. Somebody commit a crime, he has to receive the same. Total punishment. The Christians, they were obliged to excuse all crimes. He says, since holding the criminal accountable for his crime is something resolute that prevents recurrences of similar crimes, and since excusing him, on the other hand, is a kind of beautiful and praiseworthy act that can affect the criminal in a positive way, then our legislation has combined them both to make the affair complete. And for Allah is the praise. So the victim is given the right to excuse the criminal or hold him accountable. This way, forgiveness is granted in its proper place and retribution can take place when called for. See? I read that in Saudi Arabia, they carry out the limits prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not like in so many other Muslim countries, they still go with man-made laws. And they go clearly against the Quran and the Sunnah. There is a prescribed way to deal with the crime in the Quran and the Sunnah. But in many countries, if I'm saying all of them except for the Saudi Arabia, they follow man-made laws. But keep in mind that the Saudi Arabia, when they apply the limits set in the Quran and the Sunnah, they don't just come and apply them. No. The judges, they look at the case, they look at the issue, they talk to the criminal, they investigate. Not anybody who kills somebody, they shoot him, and he kills somebody in the evening, by Asr, by Fajr, he's done, he's killed too. No, it's not like that. They put him somewhere, they talk to him, they want to try what happened. Was it a mistake? Was it out of anger? Was it revenge? The judges, those who have knowledge. And they come with a ruling based on the deen of Allah, not based on ignorance. And if when they find somebody guilty, yes, this person really did it and this and all that, they couldn't find no excuse for him because they have to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no bribery and stuff. I got two words for you. Alright? No Johnny Cocker in this one. Alright? So if somebody did it, mashallah, he's guilty. Alright? So, now in this time, they look at the family of the victim. And they tell them sometimes, they listen, this person deserved the punishment. However, if you want to forgive him and give the blood money, it's up to you. Sometimes, subhanAllah, they bring somebody to be executed and they do it outside, in public. And people come, whoever, if you're there, you want to go and watch that, you can watch it. Person is about to be executed. And then they told him, listen, here is the family, his wife, his mother, they're crying, they're begging. They got the money. Man, they got that $1 million or that $100,000 or that whatever it is. They got it ready right now, man. To the victim, to the family of the victim. Please, this man, during the investigation, he's sorrowful. This man really regret this heinous crime. Would you accept the blood money and set him free? If they say yes, that man, that's it. They let him go. But if the family says, listen, man, we don't need no money, man. We want this man to get the same thing that he did to our son. So that's it. Oh, Allah. But here what's important that in our religion, forgiveness is granted in its proper place. Not pay money and you're forgiven. No, it's for its proper place. Likewise, retribution can take place when called for. So because our religion is not based on emotions. When somebody is emotional, gonna slap somebody in the face, and or I don't know, hit him, stab him. No, it's this foolishness. And this sometimes happen with Muslims between them. It's not permissible. You're angry, slow down. Follow the sunnah. Go make wudu, pray. You are standing, sit down. You're sitting, lay down. Go somewhere else. Don't sit in front of the person who made you angry. That's how crimes happen. Now go somewhere else until you calm down, he or she calm down. Punishment is not based on emotions. That's a big mistake. That's why they mention, I read in the seerah of Abdul Aziz, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah, he was one of the rulers in the dynasty of Bani Umayyah, and he ruled from between the year 99 and 101 of the Hijrah. He was a righteous ruler, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. He was a righteous ruler. And they said that when he wants to punish somebody that made him angry, he keep him in a cell for 3 days until he's not angry anymore, and then he deal with him. Likewise, as a father, you see your son did something very bad, and you if you're angry, don't talk to them. Tell him, go sit over there, please. Go sit yourself a coffee, a tea, eat some ice cream. You don't have ice cream, go, drive. And then come back. When now you're not angry, then you can talk to him or talk to her. Likewise. You're mad at your wife, she's mad at you, do the same thing. It works. Don't you ever try to talk or make a decision or do something while you're angry. Anger doesn't bring good. A lot of people somehow are in jails because they did something in time of what? Anger. Some people are killed because they didn't know how to deal with the anger. And guess what? Guess what? By the way, surprise, surprise. Towards the end of this, there is a chapter that the Sheikh talks about anger management. There is a chapter, page 57, anger management, inshallah ta'ala, is very beneficial, inshallah ta'ala. So this deen is not based on emotions. Now there is benefits, like for example, certain people who don't understand Islam, even some Muslims who don't have no clue what Islam is, they like, listen, cutting the hands of somebody who steals is a barbarian act. It's a barbarian act. Because they don't understand the reason and the wisdom behind that. For one thing, you got to explain to those people who don't know that not anybody who steals anything, his hand is cut off. No, the matter is well explained in the deen. Not everybody who steals, his hand is cut off. No, he goes through a lot of process with knowledgeable people. Once they find the person guilty, and that person knows he's a disease in the community. So people, do people like somebody who steals from them? When somebody is looking, he want to make a phone call, couldn't find his phone, he's like, Allahu Akbar, My phone got stolen. Masha, let me pray two rakah. Two sajda, right? That's what the people do. And he may like meet somebody. Guess what? Something good happened to me 2 hours ago. Subhanallah, somebody stole my $10,000. All my savings. Allahu Akbar. I'm happy. Is this the case? People get mad, right or wrong. If they catch somebody who did it at that moment, may Allah have mercy on him. Man, they get beat him up, and they may get themselves in trouble. Because let's say somebody did something to you, and you're gonna do something worse to him. So now you stand in front of the judge. What's gonna happen? You facing charges. It's like subhanAllah. So he explained to him, this person is a disease in the community. By the hand is cut off, that he serve as an example to others. And usually those people who they like, man, is a barbarian act, because it didn't happen to them. Because nobody stole. That person there, he didn't steal from them. Because if he stole from them their property, that's another issue. Give you an example. His brother, he was studying in Germany, Muslim brother. And he has this teacher, he was a Jew. He hates Muslims and Islam. And whenever he has the opportunity, this teacher, he starts talking bad about Islam and Muslims. And one day, he started like mocking this issue. How can you cut someone's hand? This barbarian act. So, after the class, that student, he's trying, he doesn't have a lot of knowledge, but he tried to explain to him, listen, it's not like what you're talking about, man. There is the etiquette, you know, it's not anybody that cut his hand. You think these people, they're just looking for somebody, whoever somebody put his hand in somebody's pocket, there is a sharp knife in there and his hand automatically get... That automatically his hands got cut off. It's okay. Al-Muslimu mir'atu akhi. Okay? The Muslim act like a mirror for his Muslim brother. Tayyib. But this man didn't want to hear it. Time go by, the same Jew teacher coming one day mad, angry. He's very angry. They say, what happened, teacher? He says, man, somebody stole my wallet. And he's very angry. Then the brother said to him, what would you do if you catch him now? I kill him. I kill him, man. He says, what? Wow. You will kill somebody who stole your wallet? Yes. He deserves to be killed. He's this. He says, wow. Subhanallah. In Islam, we cut his hand and you think that's a barbarian. Now you want to kill the man? You see? People, they follow their emotions and their desires. Tayyib. Then, another chapter here in this, Majalatu Husnul Khuluq. The Shaykh says, إِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ يذهب فهمه إلى أن حسن الخلق خاص بمعاملة الخلق دون معاملة الخالق ولكن هذا الفهم قاصر فإن حسن الخلق كما يكون في معاملة الخلق يكون أيضا في معاملة الخالق. The Sheikh says many people think that good manners are only found within their interactions with other people. I still need it? I need it? I'm done now? Jazakumullah khair. Make you happy? Jazakumullah khair. So good manners, the Shaykh now he mentioned a point, he says many people think that good manners are only have to be perpetrated between the people and themselves. Just be nice to others. And not in one's interaction with the Creator, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said this is a deficient understanding. This is not a good understanding. To think like whenever good manners mentioned, person think like I'm going to be good to my brothers, to my community, to my neighbor, to my parents. Meaning the creation. No, he says this is deficient understanding. Actually, person should have good manners with Allah first, with the Creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qala, فموضوع حسن الخلق إذن معاملة الخالق جل وعلا ومعاملة الخلق أيضا وهذه المسألة ينبغي أن يتنبه إليها أو ينتبه إليها. Said good character has its place within one's interaction with the Creator, just as it has its place within one's interaction with the creation, with the people and the like, even animals. Gotta be nice and gentle with animals as well. Even when you kill a goat or a lamb, you gotta be gentle and you have to have good manners. And these good manners are taught to us in the legislation. Tayyib, like for instance, do we have a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ says, if somebody is about to kill an animal to eat, not for fun. Okay, you don't kill an animal for fun. It's not a sport. No, for meat, for food. Then the Prophet ﷺ gives us the etiquette, the good manners with that animal. That the blade has to be sharp, very sharp. Why? Because it's easy for the animal. فَلْيُحِدَّ شَفْرَتَهُ وَلْيُرِحْ ذَبِيحَتَهُ. And you gotta do it swift. You gotta learn how to do it. And you gotta like do it in the same time. Person, he just put the knife there like this, phone ring, excuse me, I'm about to kill some animal in here. You can't do stuff like that. You can't do that. Man, you put the knife on, now you're hurting the animal. Now you gotta do it swiftly so that the animal can rest in peace, as they say. Okay? Tayyib. Qala. So therefore, a person should pay attention. The focus of good manners is on certain points. Number one, حسن الخلق في معاملة الخالق جل وعلا. يجمع ثلاثة أمور. حسن الخلق مع الخالق أي مع الله سبحانه وتعالى يجمع ثلاثة أمور. One's interaction with the creation entails three matters. Good manners in one's interaction with the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Creator, the glorified and exalted, includes three affairs. Includes three affairs. تلقي أخبار الله تعالى بالتصديق. ثانيا تلقي أحكامه بالتنفيذ والتطبيق. ثالثا تلقي أقداره بالصبر والرضا. Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen رحمه تعالى, he says these three affairs that should be taken in consideration when a person having good manners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You gotta have good manners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one, believe in what Allah says when He reaches you. When you believe what Allah says when He reaches you, that's good manners with Allah. That's good manners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, implementing and putting His ruling subhanahu wa ta'ala into practice. Now you have knowledge and you believe that it's from Allah, that's good manners with Allah. Applying it too, that's good manners with Allah. Applying the rulings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's good manners. That's from good manners. So, مفهوم المخالفة, the أصوليين, they say, no, مفهوم المخالفة, meaning the opposite is true. Those who do not apply what Allah tell them to do, do these people have good manners with Allah? That's an ill manners with the Creator. So now that's ill manner, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when a person, they know what they're supposed to do and they do the opposite and they don't do it. Number three, facing his decreed affairs, meaning the qadr, with patience and acceptance. Likewise, that's from good manners. Walhamdulillah, we have brought to you a detailed answer, an explanation actually, to this matter of the qada and the qadr. In the class that we have every Sunday, from Sharh al-Arba'in al-Nawawiyya, the explanation of the 40 hadith, from the second hadith, believing in the qadr, al-imanu bil-qadr, from the Shaykh, the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan. So accepting what Allah has decreed, meaning the calamities, the things that befall person that they don't like, whether it's illness, loss of wealth, loss of lives, loss of properties, you accept them because this is what Allah has decreed. Abdullah, move over please. You accept them, and that's good manners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah decreed what He wears. Allah has the wisdom. Allah decreed what He wears. So having good manners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable a person to accept the qadr of Allah. Person go against the qadr of Allah, that's not from good manners with Allah. Why me? I'm the only one, oh Allah, from all of these people. Why my son, oh Allah? He just graduated. He didn't give a job because that son he was going for his first day to work. He got accepted, nice work, job, mashallah, a lot of money, good position, but he got in an accident and died. He didn't even make it to work that morning. Now, a Muslim who has good manners with Allah is like, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, this is the qadr of Allah. Can have nothing to do with it. Yes, he hurts. Naam, he hurts. What do you think? Somebody lose his son just like that, and they're going to smile? Yeah, he hurts. But they say only that which is pleasing to Allah. They don't say things that is displeasing to Allah. Yes, they shed tears. As the Prophet ﷺ, when his son died, قال العين تدمع والقلب يحزن ولا نقول إلا ما يرضي الله. Prophet ﷺ, he shed tears. And they say, what is that, O Messenger of Allah? The companion, they said, no. The eye shed tears, the heart is saddened, but we still say only that which is pleasing to Allah. We say only that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So having good manners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to accept the qadr. And you don't know where the good is. Allah is the just, is al-adl. Allah gives and Allah takes. Who gave that child? Which reminds me a statement that I have read in Akhbar al-Salaf. In the time of al-Qadi, al-Fudayl actually, Fudayl ibn Iyad, rahimahullah, there was this man who had lost his son. And he loved his son. He was dear to him. And he died. And he was very sad. People came and said, be patient, mashallah, Allah will reward you. He said, he's not hearing anything. Ibn Uyayna, Sufyan ibn Uyayna, others. You got my back, right? Inshallah, barakallahu feekum. So the noise is getting closer. Huh? The door is open. I'm in the front line. Alright, now give me a stick or something. All this. Tayyib. Got a fast brother right here. anyway. So people of knowledge came to this man, remind him, be patient. Enter al-Fudayl ibn Iyad came. And he saw the man, he's still sad. Which is? And he gave him an example. He says, Ya hada, ara'ayta law annaka wabnaka fi sijnin. ثم فرج عن ابنك قبلك أكنت تفرح أم تحزن قال أفرح قال نعم لقد فرج عنه قبلك من سجن الدنيا. He said to him, let's say you now you're very sad, let's say you and your son you were admitted to a jail, bad jail, and then after a while they release your son before you, you both of you in a jail. But then they say, hey, your son has to go home. Would you be happy or sad? He says, I'd be very happy. He says, well, guess what? Your son has been released from the jail called Dunya before you. The man got very happy. See how the ulama, they look at things? Because in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ says, Ad-Dunya Sijnul Mu'min wa Jannatul Kafir. The dunya is like a jail for the believer. The ulama, when they explain it, they say, just from briefly, so I'm not going to be taken away from what we're doing, a shaykh of shaykhka, they said that why it is a jail, because a person in jail, they're restricted, right? They're restricted. Can they do anything they want in jail? The inmates, right? Inmates, they call them inmates. The inmates, can they do anything? Can they go to sleep whenever they want? Can they wake up whenever they want? Can they? Can they eat whatever they want to eat? Can they go wherever they want to go? No, they're restricted. Likewise, the believer is restricted. The believer doesn't eat anything he wants. The believer doesn't wake up whenever he or she wants to wake up. The believer doesn't go whenever they want to go. The believer doesn't say whatever they want to say, right or wrong. Likewise. Barakallahu feekum. So the Shaykh says good manners in one's interaction with Allah, the exhausted, revolve around these three affairs. Believe in what Allah says when it reaches you, implementing and putting His ruling into practice. And number three, facing His decree, the Qadr, with patience and acceptance. You accept it, and you are patient. You don't say, why me? I'm the only one. And that's not right. Some people, they even say, that's not just. Allah is not just? This is not just. This is not just. Why me? Now you accept it from good manners. You accept the Qadr of Allah with patience and perseverance. Qadr. Now the Shaykh Rahimahullah, I'm going to read to you that now, after he mentioned these three matters, he's going to explain them in detail and give examples. He says, أولاً تلقي أخباره بالتصديق. What is the first of these three matters? Having good manners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that a person has to have these three matters. What's the first one?
Believing in what Allah says when it is true.
Ma'ina. Ahsant. Believing what Allah says when it reaches you. Ahsant. Talaqi akhbar Allah bit tasdeeq. قال بحيث لا يقع عند الإنسان شك أو تردد في تصديق خبر الله عز وجل. لأن خبر الله تعالى صادر عن علم وهو سبحانه أصدق القائلين كما قال الله تعالى عن نفسه في سورة النساء ومن أصدق من الله حديثا. It is some عقيدة. أخلاق connected to the عقيدة and the creed. Accepting Allah's reports and believing them means that one does not doubt them or waver in his affirmation of what Allah the glorified and exalted says. These are from good manners with Allah. Having good manners consists of number one, that a person believe what Allah says when he reaches that person. What does it mean? The Sheikh, it means that accepting Allah's reports and believing them, meaning that one does not doubt them. No doubt. Sit there like, man, can't be. Allah said it, and you're going to sit right there and say, yeah, it can't be. That's not, nah. You have doubt, al-iyadu billah. That's ill manners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or waver in affirmation of what Allah, the glorified and exalted, says. This is because what Allah, the exalted, says only comes from knowledge, while He is the most truthful in speech. While knowing that Allah is the most truthful of speech. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Himself in Surah An-Nisa, verse 87, وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. And who is more truthful in speech than Allah? And who is more truthful in speech than Allah? Of course, no. This is a rhetoric question. There is no one. Meaning it means there is no one that is better or more truthful in speech than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال الشيخ ابن عثيمين رحمه الله ولازم تصديق أخبار الله أن يكون الإنسان واثقا بها مدافعا عنها مجاهدا بها حيث لا يدخله شك أو تشكيك في أخبار الله عز وجل وأخبار رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Likewise, how we understand this, he says, to truly believe in what Allah says. Somebody says he truly believes what Allah says. Now, how to prove that that person's statement is true or false? The Shaykh tells us, to truly believe in what Allah says necessitates that one puts his trust in His reports. You trust what Allah says. Defend them. You gotta defend what Allah says. If somebody try to put doubt and cast doubt in the people's minds about what Allah says, you gotta defend them. If you are from those people, of course. And struggles by way of them. And he does not allow the entrance of any doubt or confusion over what Allah, the glorified and exalted, and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam have reported. Shouldn't have no doubt come to you. If anybody want to cast doubt, that's why subhanAllah, now from this you understand some of the statements of the ulama. Do not sit with the innovators. Do not sit with the wicked people. Because what they do, they're going to cast shubuhat, doubtful matters in your heart. The ayah is the same ayah. It's not like they're going to bring you another ayah. No, the same verse. Not even one dot missing from it. But then, what they're going to do to you? If you have good manners with Allah, you're like, just in case if you're around those people, you pay no mind to what they're saying. But a person should not even take the risk and sit with those people. Some brothers, Allah yahdihum, they just start to read Arabic, read a little bit here and there. I'm going to go establish some proof against somebody. And who are you going to talk to? He's going to talk to somebody who is fluent in Arabic, memorized the Quran and many hadiths, has a PhD in fiqh. But still Allah caused them to be misguided. Now you want to go and talk to somebody like that? The first thing, he's going to shut you down. He's going to bring you in front of his crowd and he's going to say, oh, you want to talk to me about, what is it? I'm a mubtadi', right? And he's going to bring him some ayats. And he's going to recite long, like 3 pages. And he's going to say, can you explain to me these ayats? Now, first of all, you have to be able to repeat those ayats, right or wrong? So that imam did it on purpose. He's going to recite for like a whole 5-7 pages. And then he's going to say, okay, akhi, tell me in this ayat, what's wrong? What did they say about this ayat wrong? Now, if that man, he can even repeat the ayat, that's a big problem. And that person, you don't have to memorize the whole Quran. Memorizing the Quran is a good thing, no doubt. But if a student of knowledge, it's not like he has to memorize the book, but he has to know the principles. But if he memorized the book of Allah, that's way better for him or her. But now that person, he's going to smash that person down already. He said, you don't know these ayahs? Well, you know... No, hold on. Let us not go. This is the book of Allah, man. You tell him, Mubtadi'. You don't know the book of Allah? So now what answer are you going to have for that? And then the crowd. So those who have knowledge, they go and talk. They don't have knowledge, they be patient. They turn their affairs to Allah. They call one of the ulama, ya Shaykh, is in our area, there is a person like this, like that. He says about the ayats of Allah, this and this. Shaykh, I got no knowledge. That man, they say, has PhD in fiqh, Shaykh, in this. I'm afraid I may go there and he start bringing me so many things that I can't handle. You, Shaykh, how can we deal with this person? And the ulama, they know Allah gave them, alhamdulillah, you know, knowledge and fiqh and understanding and hikmah. You know, the same way, you can change a bandage, but you cannot operate on the heart of someone and you are no doctor. So sometimes your son fell, scratch, you put a bandage, or you just wash it with water and tell him, be careful. But if he broke an arm, what you do now? Put a bandage and tell him, be careful next time? No, you gotta take him to those who know, take him to the doctor. Likewise, sometimes you may see something that you may change and talk to the people about it. But sometimes there is certain things that you should know is above your head, man. You gotta leave him to those who deal with them. The ulama of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Some people, they go, they were upon Salafiyya, Manhaj Salafi, Sunnah, until he thinks he's going to go talk to somebody, and he's gone, he's missing now. The brother is not around anymore. Why? Because that, the person who he went to talk to, I'm going to establish the proof, he got him. He sat with him, and the other brother, the first half an hour, this Manhaj Salaf, the other smiling, mashallah. Give him some tea. Ah, tea, I want no tea, I'm not here for tea. Okay, juice, bring juice. I want to keep your juice for yourself. They bring him donuts. They keep bringing, and they bring like a nice soup, that's for you too. Now he's like slowing down. Yeah. You know what I mean, brother, right? Look, when he came, he's, Ya akhi, fear Allah, you're... Now he's like, you know what I'm here for? I just want good for you, brother. He's not crying. I just want good for you, man. You're like my father. You're like a father to me. Now this is that one now. Now the guy says, okay, he's like, God. I say, like, eat. He didn't get your tea. Oh yeah, that's my tea. Now he's eating tea. Now he's going to drink the tea, the juice, eat the donuts. And they like, listen, leave some room, we're going for dinner. They take him for dinner, and then they have a list, and somebody say, hey, I'm alone. My wife, she went to visit her family. You going to spend the night with me? Yeah, no problem, brother. He went to spend the night with one of them. Huh? All right. Where do you live? All right here. I ask, how are you going to get there? I'm going to take the bus. No, no, drive my car. Here's the key. They give him a Honda Civic. But wait a minute, I don't want you to go in the parking lot if somebody driving a Honda Civic, you think like, no, this is not the case. Alright? Because some people may go like that. So they give him a car, and they ask him, what you do? Subhanallah. And then another guy invites him for lunch. Forget about them giving da'wah. No, they're giving him da'wah. So it's very important. If you are able, You do it. You're not able, still you follow the deen of Allah. And you know yourself. You know who you are. Make dua. Oh Allah, please guide this person to the haqq. Because if Allah guide that person, subhanAllah, especially if that person, he knows the book of Allah. He has PhD in fiqh. SubhanAllah, he knows Arabic. He's eloquent. He knows how to talk. Make dua for him. If Allah gave that person, Allahu Akbar. Send him a gift, a book. Just send him a book of Sheikh bin Baz, a book of Sheikh bin Uthaymeen. But you have to be even smarter. If this person is Hanafi, send him the books of the Hanafi. There is scholars of Salafi, scholars from Hanafi Madhab. Send him those books. So he can read the scholars of the Hanafi Madhab, what they're saying. If he's a Maliki, send him the books of the Maliki Salafi scholars. He may not listen to it today. Next month, 6 months, 2 years, 10 years. You're doing what you're supposed to do. In the end of the day, if that person accepts the haq, it's good for him and good for you and for everybody. But now you don't know, you don't have no knowledge, no understanding. You want to go and talk to somebody who knows what's going on. Eloquent in speech, and now before you know, you subject yourself to danger. InshaAllah ta'ala, we will continue, inshaAllah ta'ala, next time. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك